Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing. And the product, they taste delicious, number one. But the product is so damn good. And you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC. And when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. Let's bring her out. A star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Kill Me Now. I am so excited. Okay, you know I get excited sometimes, but like I'm really excited because I've been dying to get this person on the podcast forever. I don't even know how to introduce him. I mean, he's a Tony nominee. He's got albums. He has an incredible book. He has an unbelievable one-person show based on the book called Ham, not Kosher. He's just like the embodiment of fucking talent and soul and heart and. Oh, I love him, ladies and gentlemen. The amazing Sam Harris!
Hello, Judy, go! Woo!
Sam, I fucking love you. I mean, I fucking loved you. Like, I remember the Star Search when you, when the whole world went fucking crazy. Like, the whole world.
It was crazy. It was crazy. And I was a child.
You were a child. And people went nuts. Here's this white guy. Singing like
a fat black woman.
Right.
Yeah.
It's you're so fucking talented.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Just take it. I hate okay. This is what I hate. This is one of the things I hate. This will be one of my kill me now moments.
Okay.
When someone says, oh, you're just terrific. And you go, oh, yeah. And they go, you really need to learn how to take a compliment. No, I don't.
No, I don't.
And if
it's
I did, right.
And I don't know what to say. What am I supposed to say?
But also, don't you hate people who can take compliments?
Well, like what?
Like when you say something to them and they're like, oh, thank you very much. And then you're like, well, fuck you.
Only if you didn't mean it.
No, but like people who are good at emotionally healthy.
But how about also, this is horrible on my part.
Right.
When someone will just see a show or something.
Right.
And they'll say, you are so talented. And I'm like, no fucking kidding.
Right.
Because you say thank you, but, or no, the worst is that is good job.
Oh, wait. The word good after a show? No.
Good.
No.
Do you remember when Kevin Costner said after he saw In Truth or Dare, after he saw Madonna, and he said, that was neat. Like, how
neat,
do you...
Neat sucks.
No.
You know what sucks?
Cute.
Cute? I was just going to say cute.
Cute.
Yo, that was cute.
The
fuck
worst.
You.
No, it's not cute.
And I'm not
I've
cute.
I've been busting my ass.
Right. And people are like, oh, you look so cute. No, I don't look cute. There's nothing cute about a fucking 6'2", over 200-pound Jewish dyke. Cute.
Wow. You've been saying, though, that you gained 30 pounds. I don't see it.
I'm telling you. One of the last questions I always ask, which you will be the first person, I don't wait till the end.
Okay.
Is that I gained it from the antidepressant. Well, I always ask people if they're on antidepressants. Uh-huh. And I already know you are.
I am.
And I gained it.
Me too.
From Paxil.
Me too.
Well, Paxil, not Paxil. What do you want?
I don't know what I'm on because they're all generic names, so I don't know what they really
are.
Oh,
all right. Tell me what. Do you know? Yes. What color pill?
Well, one's Lamotrigine. I don't know what that
is.
One's
Lamoctil. Yeah, something. I don't know.
One's Olanzapine. And
They're
all peens. And yeah. The third one is Sertraline. It's not a peen. It's not Sertrapine. It's Sertraline. Those are the three. And so, but it's, it was dark.
Yeah, we're going to talk about okay. that. But here's the thing.
I gained 30 pounds.
Right. So now you don't look like you gained 30 pounds. And
well,
you're
I've
a guy.
I've lost a little bit.
All right. Great. Thanks.
It's been 5 years.
All right. I'm on the Paxil, mm-hmm. but I'm on generic too. Wellbutrin.
Uh-huh.
And Trazodone.
Trazodone.
That's for the sleeping.
Right.
But I'm on a very low dose.
Does that work?
It's really good.
Okay.
Ever since my clinical depression,
uh-huh.
I cannot sleep through the night. So like this keeps me asleep.
I didn't sleep last night at all.
Ugh,
maybe
I hate that.
An hour or two cumulatively. I had those horrible earworm things and I kept hearing songs, but the songs were horrible.
Oh God.
It was like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious over and over in my head. And the first Noel, I hate the first Noel. You're going to bring it back.
Sorry.
Yeah. It was rough. It's still going on a little bit.
Wow.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
But it's partly just my excitement and anxiety about being in New York.
Well,
doing
you're
the show.
In New York, everyone, I'm saying this. Go see Sam at 54 Below if you're anywhere near New York City. You're here. You're
Tuesday
there.
Tuesday and Wednesday, 10th and 11th.
The 10th and 11th of December. I might have to go.
I would love for
you
to come.
Yeah, because I really want to go, but I have something on the 10th. I'm going to try to go. What time?
7.
Yeah. I love that place.
I do too.
But
I've been there many times.
Oh, I shouldn't say that.
It is. It can be expensive.
Because you eat dinner, but the food is so good.
Food is great. You don't have to eat dinner.
Yeah, yeah, but if you want a good booth,
I guess.
I just fucking.
But I'm excited. And you know, I love New York. I miss New York. I miss New York.
Do you really miss it?
I do. I mean, I really, really miss it. It's kind of like the only place I've ever completely felt home.
Yeah. And also. You have a child now, so it's not like you can be like, all right, let's go.
No, exactly. I can't rip him out of school, and it's tricky.
Well, I mean, you can.
Yeah.
But you don't
I don't want
to
be that.
Yeah. I made the careful decision when my ex, Sharon, was pregnant that she said, okay, you got to pick a place to live.
I thought the bell was for something Jewy.
Yeah, she's...
Oh, she's Jewish, so you have to ring the bell.
Yeah, you have to ring the bell.
Okay.
Sharon. Her name's Sharon Callahan, but her mother was Bryna Wolper.
Okay.
So, and then I used to call her Bryna Vagina, and then Sharon used to get really mad at me. Horrible. I mean, one time we were at like a wedding or a bar mitzvah, and I was like, her little cousins were there, and I was like, yeah, there's Bryna Vagina. I'm so immature.
That's wrong.
We're so mismatched. Anyway, because she's like, you know, an executive.
I have to say, I liked her. I'm sorry.
This is the end of this. I'm kidding. No, I liked her too. Okay, so, but you love Elise is the best.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Jew.
So, yeah, full, not father, then. All right, whatever. It doesn't matter. So, wait, what were we talking about? This is menopause.
We went back. We started with antidepressants.
Oh, right.
Then we moved into weight, but we really didn't cover that
all
subject.
Right. I can't.
And then I don't know what was next.
All right.
Oh, then we talked about 54 Below.
54 Below and how fucking brilliant you are.
Thank you.
We're actually recording at Susie Dietz's apartment. She is producer to the stars.
Can I just tell
slash
you what else
amazing
she is?
Person slash fucking mother of everyone.
And probably like an angel on this earth
yes.
who lives to create art and bring things out that people should see and make change in the world.
Yeah.
And she's super political.
She's so political. She's so great and on the right side of history and just a fucking caretaker.
She's amazing.
Right? And she just made me a bagel and some coffee. But I'm not eating the bagel. You know why? Because I don't want to eat on the air. All right. Oh, bagel. Sorry. Okay. So truth be told, full disclosure, I was late because I am obsessed with your book, Ham.
Thank you.
Okay. First of all,
I was, when you told me that, it made me so happy.
Well, I just, because I get up early. I usually try to do it the day before or something.
Right.
Or over the week. But I just, I've been doing my show, 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother, a last minute thing. And I just, my whole schedule got fucked up. And so I got up early to read. And I couldn't stop reading your book. It's so, first of all, it's so well written. And then it's so riveting. Like, and the... You're the way you write, it's so specific and descriptive, and it's
wow.
No, it is so good. I want to throw my book out anyway.
thank you. We were talking about taking compliments. That really means something to me.
I know how hard it is to write a book and to write a memoir. And you think, oh, who cares about it? You know, like because I teach solo performance, and I know like so many people. Or like, well, I don't know if people are going to care. And I'm like, oh my God, yes. People relate to this the most.
And it's your specifics, but it's their version of their specifics.
Now, platinum recording artist.
Yes.
9 studio CDs.
Oh, yeah. You do your research.
Yes.
Is it 9? I didn't even know that.
Yes.
But I'm going to say yes.
Mm-hmm. Tony nominated.
Yes.
Was that shit when you lost?
Well, yes, it is. But meanwhile, like my good friend Chuck Cooper, who was in the same show.
Him.
No, he was so great.
All right.
So
is he Jewish?
It was like, no.
Okay.
He's a very tall, big black man.
Oh, same thing.
Uh-huh. Not Jewish.
Okay, I'm not ringing the bell.
I don't think. His mother. But anyway, so he won. So that was, you know, if it wasn't me, I'm glad it was
Chuck.
Somebody from my show. And somebody, and it was Chuck.
And when you were clapping and like, yay, inside, how are you feeling?
My heart was breaking.
Right.
And Danny was sitting next to me.
Right, Danny Jacobson, your husband.
My husband.
Who's not Jewish, but has the most Jewish name in the entire world.
And his mother's maiden name was Dromgold, and her mother's name was Weiss.
No.
Hello?
Did he get his DNA done? That's Sam. Did he get his DNA done?
Well, it's S-E-N.
I'm telling you.
I did.
I know, but I'm telling you, he's Jewy.
You know what? I'm way more Jewy than he is.
I know, but I'm just saying he's probably got a little Jew in him.
Well, I would hope so. I've wanted him to be Jewish.
And does he want to get his DNA done? I'm telling you.
I did his ancestry.
And?
I didn't find any Jews.
Fuck that shit. Okay, so you were born Samuel Kent Harris.
Uh-huh.
What's your
middle
name?
What's your
Hannah.
Name? Hannah.
Judith Hannah Gold. Ju. That gets like 45 bells. born in Sand Springs, Oklahoma.
Yes.
In the middle of the fucking Bible Belt.
That's right. A very peculiar child.
And we're not at the point where you wanted to be Jewish yet, but...
No, but early.
Early. The fact that... So you were obsessed with Mary Poppins.
I saw it when I was 3.
Right.
My father took me to the movie, and I didn't have a lot. My father was not terribly available in my childhood.
Yes.
And so he took me to the movie. So I think part of it was that, too.
That it was like, I did this with my father. So
and I loved it so much, and we sat in the smoking section of the movie, and I loved
the
it
way
so much.
You describe the cigarette hanging out of the corner of his mouth, and then the smoke going up so his eye is squinting. And
I don't even remember that. I love that.
Oh, yeah. And you were like, he was carrying the popcorn. I just was so vivid that you were sitting in the smoking set. Yeah.
I loved it so much that we sat through the second showing. I mean, that was powerful.
You know what I find so interesting about your parent? Well, first of all, your father.
My father just died 3 months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Is your mother alive?
She is.
Oh, you're lucky. I have no parents.
I know.
Okay. that your father was such a guy's guy.
Totally.
And yet he was a band director.
He was. Very musical.
Very musical. And you have a brother.
I have a younger brother and a mother who's alive.
And a mother, you're lucky.
I love our new sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. It is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers, of which I am one of them. They have everything you want, really, seriously, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. And I know you're thinking, Judy, you live in an apartment in New York City. What's with the fast-growing trees? Well, let me tell you something. You don't need to have a yard or a lot of space. You can grow lemon, avocado, olive, or fig trees inside your home. And guess what I have? A fig tree in my office, and I fucking love it. I love it. Hi, Avi. His name is Avi. And I love him. And he brightens up. It makes me so happy. And I talk to him. Okay, I know I'm going overboard, but having plant life in your house is so comforting. And I love fast-growing trees. Thank you for this beautiful fig tree. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They offer free plant consultation forever. Okay. And I just got a new pot for Avi. So I'm going to be calling them and asking them the correct way to put it in there. You will find the perfect thing for your climate, for your space, for your aesthetic needs. It's great. I love it. I have a plant and it's so, I'm telling you, it has made me much happier. And you know how happy I am. Anyway, this spring, which is, you know, spring is, it is the growing season. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online. Up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
Okay, so you're obsessed with Mary Poppins and you had a cup and saucer, right?
I Mary was given, Poppins. My aunt gave me a little plastic cup and saucer.
Right.
And I didn't remember that. And then like 15 years later or something, I was at her house.
Right.
And I saw these things in her cabinet. And I said, oh my God, these are amazing. Where did you get these? She said, well, I gave them to you, but your father took them away.
Right, because, and hid them.
Because, and I was three. And I was already kind of, you know, he was concerned that I was a little too girly.
Right. I don't know why.
I don't know why.
And he put them away. And then you found them.
I confronted him.
And went in, your father and your brother and your cousins were watching a football game,
yes,
right?
Screaming and, like animals.
Yeah, like, ooh, exactly. And you walk in.
What is this?
Like a big drama queen.
Yeah.
And with the cup and saucer and confront your father.
Guess what?
What?
That little cup is sitting on a shelf in my son's room.
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry. No.
He doesn't, however, like Mary Poppins.
He doesn't. He's no straight, interest. Right?
Totally. Totally.
I don't fucking get it. Like, what my kids are so straight. Like, no. There's not one gay.
We have to let them be whatever they are.
I know. I know. You know, it's so funny because I'm writing a foreword for a book and it's about gay parenting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just writing how, you know, we have to come out. Like, even, yes, there's equality to a certain extent, but we still have to come out all the time because people make so many stupid assumptions and say totally. The stupidest things. Like, you know, when I'm with Ben, my younger son, who's 6'8", that, you know, people are like, oh, how tall is the father? And then it's like, fucking, oh my God, you know, this innocuous question is not an innocuous question, you know? And
I understand that.
Right. No, I
but
get
we
it.
Have to, you're right.
We have, but we have to come out. We can
well,
either.
How about this? Because of our age.
Right. 36.
Danny and I have been together for 25 years.
Right.
We've been married for however long, 11 years, when we could. Right.
Right
in California.
2008, yeah.
And which was the year Cooper was born.
Right.
But I still, every time
I can't
time
believe
I use,
you had premarital sex.
I know.
Go.
Shotgun wedding. But every time I say husband, and this will never change, I don't think, in my lifetime, there's still that little
from
that
you
little thing
yes.
in me.
It's this internalized homophobia.
And,
yeah.
and I can't help it. And it'll never change. And you know, if you have on the phone and I'm making a doctor's appointment for Daniel, I'm like, and my husband wants to, and there's
right.
that little moment.
I know, but nobody, I'm the same way.
Nobody ever responds negatively. No, there's never a shock.
Right,
there's
but
never
you
anything.
Just
it's
can't,
me.
But you can't fucking believe it.
Yeah.
It's. I think part of it is that, like,
but
you,
it's also the fear of judgment.
There right. is a fear yeah, of judgment. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're
and people
right.
will say sometimes to us when we're public,
right?
Let's hold hands. Let's kiss each other.
Right.
It's like he wants to show
that this
it's
is
okay
my family.
To be a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
We never hold hands in public unless we're like in Provincetown or something.
Oh, I do all the do time. You? Oh, and Elisa's like, "Do you think we should?" And I'm like, "Who fucking cares?"
No,
I don't.
You're right. You're right.
I don't care. But it took me a while. But like, wife. Like mm-hmm. I used to have a joke in my in my act about my mother. This friend of mine who was a paramedic would visit her in the nursing home, and one day my mother calls and says, "Kathy was here visiting with her wife." It was like a 10-minute wife, and I was like, "Uh huh." And she's like, "I said she brought her wife," and it was a whole bit in my act, but it was like. You know, it's new, but it's also that we never thought ever. Like
it was not even
like the fact.
It says in my show, I say it was not even something I could have wished for.
Or,
it was
yeah.
even it wasn't even something that was fathomable. That,
right,
you just accepted your lot.
Right,
and this is the way it is.
And I feel like I don't know if you feel like this that we did get our lot. We did get. A horrible AIDS crisis, and we did.
Yeah.
I mean, which was really the catalyst for marriage equality, because I mean,
I
all
so.
These people are with their partners for 30 years, and then
and no rights,
no rights. The surviving family members who you know shunned them
would swoop in, right.
would swoop in and say, "You're not coming to your partner's funeral.
Right.
You're not getting
right.
anything." You know, but it's hard. It took a plague.
Mm-hmm.
For us too. And now I know that this is horrible, but the fight to me is not on the same level as the fight today with the pronouns and the, you know, and I am very, I'm not, I trans people,
right.
I feel for them like, I do my gay brothers when they, you know, during the AIDS crisis and my drug addict friends and whatever. And they, I don't think that trans, I know I'm going to get in so much trouble for this, but the plight of the trans person is so vastly different than the plight of, okay, you're calling me the wrong pronoun and I'm really pissed off. But you
yes,
know,
I
mean
what
these
you mean.
Trans people are dying.
That's a real yes.
They commit suicide. It's a horrible situation.
The life expectancy is like 35
yeah,
years old.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's changing, of course.
Right.
But can you imagine being that brave and that much commitment to being your true self
right.
and living like that?
Right.
I mean, that is huge.
Huge. Huge. And then to know
well, so
that your life
labels.
Expectancy is and that
and your friends are killing themselves or
right.
drug addicts or whatever.
And people are.
Meanwhile, I know some very, very, very mentally healthy
trans people
because, and part of that is also that bravery to just say, you know what? I'm not going to be a victim
right.
of this society.
But we have to help them.
Yes.
And you know, professors getting in trouble because they called someone the wrong pronoun because
Excuse
they're
me,
non-binary.
Last time I saw you
yeah.
in the summer, you had just shot something for Nickelodeon or something. And can I talk about this?
Yeah, I don't even know what it was.
When they cut... Because you said, see you later,
right.
guys.
Right.
See you later, guys.
I did the new Apple TV Sesame Street, The Helpsters.
Uh-huh.
And my line was, hey, everybody, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, action. And I said, hey, guys, blah, blah, cut. And I said, what's wrong? You can't say guys. And I'm just like, okay.
What? Right?
I've been
it's
saying,
like,
hey, guys, for everyone.
It's
like there's nothing attached to it. There's
no,
nothing.
No.
And this
See,
whole
I have
idea,
to say,
right, the idea that words are so have this thing attached. It's the intent of the person.
But it's also that we have been fighting to not have labels and to just be equal and the same.
Right.
And now there is a label. There's a label for people who don't have labels.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot.
It's, yeah, the identity politics is really bad, too.
And confusing to me.
Right.
We're old.
I know. Isn't it bad? We're like the Archie Bunker.
The them,
but
the
I
who,
also
the
want young gay men to know, and gay women. I also believe the gay women do not get any credit during the AIDS crisis. It's like every show or movie about the AIDS crisis, there's no women. It's like, who the fuck took care of you guys? Mm-hmm, you know, like mm-hmm, they never mm-hmm. like inheritance
right,
has no
right.
what, like it's really, we were a huge part of it. And it also brought
the rescuers,
us together.
Right.
Yeah. And we get nothing.
But I'll tell you, here's the real sign of progress is that my 11-year-old son doesn't have any attachment
to
it's shocking. He has a friend who is a biological boy who identifies as a girl.
Right.
They don't
give a
shit. Them.
They
the
don't care.
The kids will be in my car and the kid says, you know, he's whatever, he was 9 years old. I think I'm gay. You know, oh, really?
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's nothing to them.
It's amazing. And it's such a short period of time.
They don't see color.
Right.
They don't. In fact, I said, I was asking... he's in a new school, and I was asking, and I said, which one is, what's her face? And he said, well, you know, she has dark hair. I said, is she the Hispanic one? And he said, I don't know. Now, meanwhile, it is a way of identifying someone. It's like saying, is she the blonde one? Is she the tall one? Is she the Hispanic one?
Right.
It's okay.
Right.
I don't have to be afraid to say, is she Hispanic? He's like, I don't know.
Right.
They really
don't see color. They don't see. I know, all the time. And then Ben once came home and said, oh, mommy, there's a trans kid in our school. I said, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah, all right. All right, so what do we have?
Exactly.
No.
It's nothing.
I go, I am obsessed. Well, we'll talk about this, but I go, does anyone pick on them? Like I said, if anyone is teasing that person, you have to go rescue them. And it's like, mommy, no one cares.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my Ben.
You know what I will say? My son, first of all, he's funny as fuck.
Right.
Judy, he is so funny with the kids, and he's just blossomed this year with the parents of the kids.
Right.
The things, and they're dry, and they're adults.
Right.
And even his parent-teacher conference, they all talk about how funny he is. Which, you know, when he was born, I wished for healthy and funny.
Right.
If you're healthy and funny, you're going to be fine.
Exactly.
But why did I bring... Oh, I was going to bring this up because one of his greatest qualities is his compassion.
Right.
And he's not he's not an emotional softie. He wears his cards very close to his sleeve. But when somebody is in distress or there's an injustice, he stands up for it.
Same.
And it just makes me, look at me, I'm a little weak.
I know.
It just is like, that's what you want.
That's
you want
exactly
your child
what
to
you
be
want.
A good citizen.
Yeah, I know. Ben and Henry both. Same thing. And especially for the LGBTQ community, community, they will be like, don't you fucking.
Right.
And they come out and say, my parents are gay, so do not.
Well, the other day, he was with two girls, right? This is this conversation. I'm a vegetarian. Other girl, I'm a vegan, Cooper. I'm adopted. And,
that's
and
so funny.
He has timing, he understands, you know, but it's also, he's just like,
he's free.
This is who I am.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So you.
We're not going to talk about me again, are we?
Yeah. That's what we're doing, you motherfucker.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So as a young boy.
Yes. You said that as if it was a question.
You loved the Jews. Now, you're in the middle of the Bible Belt, right?
I am.
And you're going to a Baptist church.
I am.
And you, at what age? Very young.
10.
Are obsessed with the Jews because you realize...
Well, actually, even earlier, because I read The Rise and the Fall of the Third
Reich.
Right,
that's right.
When I was in third grade. The neighbor had a copy.
So your neighbor's father brings over...
My friend's
father brings over
five doors down, has it. I think he might have been reading it. I'm like, what's that?
Right.
And, you know, he's talking about the Holocaust and everything, which I knew about.
Right.
Thank you. And so I
like
brought
in
it.
A,
you know, it's a thick, it's
right,
a dense
but
book.
I have a question.
Hmm.
Was he reading it for the right reasons or the wrong?
No, he was a good person.
Oh, all right.
He
good.
Was.
You know.
They had a dog named Cricket. Anyway, So I borrowed it, and of course, I flipped through most of it just to get to the Jewy parts.
Right.
And, you know, I was so emotional, and I would sort of earmark the pages so right. I could go back and cry more.
I know, that I read that.
Judy, I don't know what it is. I think it's because, and I felt the same way about when I went to a black church. I was looking for a tribe, and the chosen people.
That's right, baby.
That's a tribe.
Right.
I just wanted to be chosen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so, and it was the same thing with the black community and the music and that influence on me, is that I wanted to be probably identify with the oppressed. Because there was no gay anything. There were no right. gay role models. There was no gay community. There was
there was no representation at all on television. Except
anywhere.
You know, yeah.
Now we have politicians. We right. have musicians.
We
athletes.
Have a, we have someone running for president.
So I just think that was part of it, is this oppression. And when I was reading about, you know, the torture, not to mention the whole history of the right. Jews.
God, I missed that. Yeah.
And so I think I related to that, but I took it a little far. You but know, I wanted, there was one temple in Tulsa. Which
yes,
was about
and you asked your parents to drive you there
to
and
the
they
temple.
Wouldn't do
they
it.
They kind of drew the line there. Yeah.
Oh, you would have been such, can you imagine getting bar mitzvah and you would have been
totally.
So cute.
I would have really learned all the prayers.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you
I
went.
Have done and, a number.
Right. And you embraced your bap, well, up until
well,
a point.
For a moment.
So you go. So you get baptized, right?
At 10.
At 10. And you have this white robe on, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
You're the only one getting baptized that day.
Oh, yeah.
And
it was my show.
Right. And you are like, the music comes and you're like, blah, blah, you know, and yeah. and he dunks you.
Mm-hmm. In the Father, the Son, right. and the Holy Ghost. I have the tears streaming.
Right.
You know, all the old ladies.
Right.
You're beautiful.
And you're loving every moment.
Loved it. I was saved.
And then you
never
went
back again. Because, you know, once you do the big 11 o'clock
right,
number,
you can't, yeah.
what are you going to do? What's the encore?
Were your parents, like, pissed off that you weren't going to church?
No, my father was never religious, and my mother and I went. But it was, thank God, I was not in that family.
Right.
I wasn't in the, you know, the Bible thumper
right,
family.
Right, right. How much, what percentage of your area was Bible Thumper versus?
Oh, I would imagine, you mean like totally evangelical Bible Thumper?
Well, just like you go to
Christian.
High school.
There was nothing besides Christian.
Right.
And there was a church on every corner.
And did you learn about other religions
no.
and Jews? Or
no, any? That was all me.
So nothing in your school?
Oh, God, no.
Wow. It was everyone white?
No. No, there was a, I would say we had, it was small, but I would say we had a 20% maybe black
wow.
black population. Because we are, you know,
yeah.
border south.
Right.
We're, you know.
And then, and the name of your church was the Broadway Baptist Church.
Isn't that
which
perfect?
Which is fucking great.
Isn't that perfect? That's why I went there.
Yeah.
What am I going to go?
That's
to the off-Broadway?
I'm not going to the off-Broadway.
Hey everybody, if you know me, you know I love my liquid IV and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
You started doing acting in the Tulsa Little Theater.
I did.
How old were you?
10.
At 10's like a big year. Age for you.
Yeah.
Did your father lay off you like after... You did the Mary Poppins thing, then he brought you to the...
And I was, you know, pretended I was Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music, too.
Right,
I was all over Julie Andrews.
What did you... you sang, I have confidence in springtime. Yeah. I have confidence in rain.
Yeah, I put my mother's old 50s skirt on my head and like what is that thing called?
A habit.
Okay. It was.
Not a good one. Did he lay off you, you know, up until, like, did it stop? Did he accept it, like, as a child, you know?
As a child, it wasn't discussed. You know, I don't know if you read the story, but there was when I was not accepted onto the baseball team.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we had tryouts all week. And then the coach guy made a big, big deal about calling out the names of the people to be on the team. And everyone had been called. And then he says, you can be water boy. You can be water boy if you want. And my father was parked like 50 feet away. And I just saw him lay his head and hands on the steering wheel. And I walked silent to the car. And we never talked about it. Discussed
it again.
Then I learned like 2 years ago.
That guy's gay.
No, that's probably true too. I learned 2 years ago that my father went back and, you know, cussed him out. And that, well, why didn't you tell me?
Right.
Why didn't you take care of me?
Right.
So those things were sort of not discussed. But meanwhile, I was called squirrely and prissy and sissy and all that stuff.
Yeah, and girl. Yeah, and, yeah.
But no. I'm not talking about the community. I mean, my own father would say, you don't act so squirrely.
Right.
Squirrely. I don't know.
I mean, he is a fact. I mean, you have to factor in his generation and where
he was
from.
Product of his time.
Right.
Totally.
But your mother.
My mother really, well, my father certainly encouraged my music and he was a musician.
Right.
And he taught me about it and he would introduce me to things. And it was, and he was very busy and he was, you know, they were so young. They were in their 20s when I was a little, you know. So that's the time that you're. Ambitious and self-absorbed. And in that period of time, the man did that and the woman was the mother. So he was present to a degree in that he introduced me to music and things. And he took me, again, 10 years old. It was a big year. Took me to see Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, I love Sammy.
And... that was good.
Yeah.
That's the first time you've ever been able to do that. And I remember Sammy Davis left a cigarette butt, you know, because he smoked all through the show. And I was trying to climb after the show up to get the cigarette butt. My father was, get away from there. And he took me to that, and they took our family to Liza Minnelli. She was doing Liza with the Z on tour.
Yeah.
And so that was a big year for me, too. He took me to a rehearsal for Mel Torme.
No way.
I mean, he did get, so, but my mother was sort of the one who, you know, let me be on stage and took me to the audition or whatever.
Right.
There's not a lot of
Mama
choices.
Rose,
there's not a lot of choices in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Right.
Yeah. But I did have that, you know, that support.
So you're in the Tulsa Theater
Little Theater.
Mm-hmm. First, your first show is
The Dark at the Top of the Stairs.
Then you do Gypsy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was a newsboy. I was 10.
I know.
Yeah.
The story with the three boys backstage.
Oh, yeah. We played, because we're not in the second act.
They're not in the second act, so you guys are hanging out.
And there's a top floor that's the costume room.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the three boys. It started with Baby June and, you know, Louise. And we would play, we would cover ourselves in costumes, because it's a long show.
Right.
And we would play strip poker. And
and what's the age group here? 10 to?
I was 10 to probably to 13.
Okay.
And so it kind of, one night it kind of narrowed down to me and a boy and two boys.
Right.
And we got one down, the 13-year-old had to strip and masturbate.
And he had, had an erection and he just started masturbating?
Yeah, but the difference between a 13-year-old penis and a 10-year-old penis is remarkable. We're talking about, like, you know, 800%
difference. So you're like, oh my God.
It was extraordinary.
Right.
It was amazing.
Right.
And I mean, I can remember just like, oh my God. And of course, I think all of us turned out to be gay. But
shocking. You're in a theater troupe.
And masturbating.
So he's masturbating while she's singing.
Everything's coming up roses.
For me.
For you. Right. And that's over the monitor.
Yeah, right.
You know.
For me. Oh, that's so.
For me.
And you ended up working with one of the guys later on in life.
I did. I did.
Did you talk to him about the
book
incident? Did he?
Yeah.
And what
but I did say, you know, and I said, I think in the book it says, Jesus, I haven't read it in so long.
Right.
I think it says, I don't know if it was, it's a case of memory of like your house is bigger than you.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
Right.
He might have just had a very normal, but I remembered as being something that he could have just thrown over his shoulder.
Right.
And so it was actually a compliment to tell this story.
Did he say anything to you? Like...
Well, not really. He was fine with it.
Did you ever have sex with him?
I never had sex with him, no. But I'd be so curious to see how big his
I know,
dick
right? This is a kids podcast, ladies and gentlemen. So, okay. So you're in the Tulsa Theater Club, which is great. Because
when he was...
He was?
Yes.
Oh, I heard they have big ones. How was he Jewish in the Tulsa? Oh, he was from the Jew side of town.
Of Tulsa, yeah.
Okay, so...
His mother was... what's the name? There's Mazeppa, Electra, Tessitura. His mother
Dressy Tessitura,
so much more demure
than all the other ladies because...
His mother was Tessitura, so...
Wow.
That says a lot.
So his mother's on stage and he's jerking off... upstairs with that's great. So okay, so you go to high school, you're getting teased, you're getting you're getting the usual fucking shit for being gay or girly, and you know, like, I got it, you know, Bigfoot, orca, Sasquatch, every fucking day. It was really fun. And
I was still sort of popular,
right?
I was still like in that group,
right?
And I had my thing, and my talent that I had found it at an early age made me special.
Right.
So even though there would be the mutterings or somebody calling across the hall or the parking lot, I just went on. I just, you know, dancing as fast as I can.
Right.
And I had my thing, and I found my purpose at such an early age that made me special.
Right.
So it's not like I was... you know, stuffed into lockers. I didn't have that kind of a childhood.
Right, right, right.
It was just this thing. And the fear in me was the largest because you didn't, it's not like there were other gay kids. Of course there were.
Right.
But there was nothing. And so it was that horrible secret, that shaming that
oh
we all
God,
had in that
Oh my God, that
time,
whole thing that you have to
not
hold
to
it
be
in.
That.
Right. Yeah. You tell such an amazing story about this kid that says that he wants to beat you up. And you go and meet him. He's like, come meet me here. I'm going to beat you up.
After school.
And you're like, oh, what time is it? Oh, I've got to meet the kid to beat me up. And he comes over and he's just about to punch you. And you say, you know, everyone thinks you're really funny. Right? You like, and he stopped.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
you
then
could really work on that.
Yeah,
you could have a,
again, you were like, you remind me of George Carlin, you know. And then he invites you to his house.
His name was Jerry Moss.
Yeah, and then you go to his house, And you're friends, but he's like, no, you can't tell anyone that exactly. we're friends.
Don't tell anybody.
Right.
Right.
And he starts confiding in you that he's a fucking miserable human being. So what happened? Do you know
no,
him?
No, I don't know him. I don't know whatever happened to him. He definitely did not become a comedian.
Right.
I mean, that's the only thing I could probably pull out of my ass at the
but
time.
How fucking smart is that?
I do remember, though, that we were in when we were like seventh grade.
Yeah.
And we were going around the room and we were talking about extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
And so, what are you taking? I'm taking whatever.
Right.
What are you taking? And he went, drugs.
No way.
That was him. And that's probably what I based it on.
Right.
You know.
And who knows if he was even trying to be funny.
Oh, who knows?
Yeah, fuck you,
Jerry. He's
probably
loaded right then.
So you go through high school.
Well, sort of. I left.
Right. So you leave high school. Well, you go through a little bit, and then you leave.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the parental reaction.
When I was leaving?
Yeah.
I think when I look at a 15-year-old,
right.
I'm like, how
the fuck
did my parents let me
right.
go? But they did. And I think that part of it was that they saw that they kind of had to.
Right.
And I needed to.
Right.
But I think part of it was just a little ignorance of like, well, he's mature and he'll be fine.
Right.
And it was kind of extraordinary.
Right. Especially.
I mean, that's one of the things that I think I'm, what a blessing.
That your parents were not Jewish. Because there's no way any Jewish woman would be like, oh, you're 15?
Go.
Oh, yeah, go. Go be a star.
Right, no.
Did you feel, I mean, look, I always think, you know when you hear those stories about like, my great-grandfather came over and he was, you know, 11 and he had a dollar and he started a fucking tailor business and now right. his name is Bonnie, you know, right?
Just going out of business.
I know, what the fuck?
What does
my
that
father
mean?
Used to go, I remember going as a little girl with my father.
It's an institution. That's,
I can't it's take it anymore.
It's the end of everything.
It's the end of, yeah. This whole fucking shit. Like, we're in New York City, and it's like bank, 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 Duane Reade,
when I lived
Walgreens,
on the Upper West Side, yeah. when I moved to the Upper West Side, there was a bookstore that was dedicated only to mystery books. That's all they
oh,
sold.
Yes.
Because there was enough right. people. It was all mom and pop. The butcher, the, you
right.
know, the fishmonger, the thing. It sounds like I was in the Lower East
right.
Side in 19... 19-
no, but it, well, it is.
It was. And now, you know, it's Coach. It's
right.
It's just awful. The gentr- Meanwhile, I get 7 boxes a day from Amazon.com. So I am part of the problem.
Right. I know. I can't, it's really... And I hate Facebook.
Yeah, what does that have to do with
no,
Amazon?
No, I'm just saying Amazon.com,
yeah.
Facebook, all of this stuff, this new stuff that we...
This new stuff,
whatever.
Listen to us.
And all
remember.
Of the... Remember! No, but do you remember there was a place in, on the Upper West Side called the Library, and they had food, and you could take books out and drop your books off there.
Oh, no, I don't remember
It was
remember
on 92nd
that.
And Broadway.
Wow.
And it was really good food, and you could go read, or you could... It was like a... Pub.
Where are those places?
Done.
Okay,
so,
how did we get... Oh, because you said Barney's.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Now,
I'm just saying, 15 years old on your own.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't know. It seemed very natural to me. I wasn't
right.
scared.
Right.
I was among, again, my tribe.
Right.
I got to finally find a tribe
right.
of other people who loved what I loved.
Right.
We did 75 shows a day.
Right.
And I fell in love.
Right.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
It's Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn... for part two on Just Kill Me...
No, it's not. It's
Just Kill Me.
Now.
No, Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just
Kill Me Now.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.